going on? This is Toki and Noah, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
Give it all you got, take your very best shot, and may the best team win. The time is now, the name of the game is action. They're on the floor, and they're ready to score, so let the game begin.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Chicago Bullseye. As you can tell, my voice is a little bit better. I'm getting moving closer to health after the horrible bout with the flu. And on the line, I have the great Keith Rontz. How you doing, my man?
A little salty about today's win, but other than that, doing pretty well. Yeah. How about yourself?
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I mean, I've been getting these conversations with our friend Mark from Australia, Doug Tonis. I don't know what else the Bulls can do. Like, you know, they played Markin in less than 30 minutes, Dunn less, I think, 30 minutes on the dot, LaVine less than 30 minutes. You still want to see those guys get time. You still want to see them grow, become better. They're young players. You know, it's just they're better. You know, they're better than Atlanta. They're better than some of these teams. And I don't know what else. They're taking a bunch of heat online, on Twitter. What do you think they should be doing that they're not doing?
Playing Felicio more. I like Vonleh personally. I'd obviously much rather have Vonleh long-term than Felicio, but unless they plan on buying out Felicio and giving Vonleh his spot, I really think it's kind of counterproductive for what we're trying to do to be playing Vonleh more than Felicio. And like I said, I like Vonleh. I like the skill set he brings. I wouldn't mind him being here for the future, but playing him right now more minutes than you're playing Felicio does not make sense to what we're doing.
No. You're probably right with that. So you're saying you'd like to see more minutes go to Felicio. But, I mean, they're trying to play Payne. Campaign's played well the last couple games. I can't believe it. He played well today in the victory against Atlanta. You know, he played well last game. I don't know what else you can do.
Oh, no, you are right for the most part in regards of our whole roster construction is simply just better than the other teams. Most of these other teams have G League rentals that they're not afraid to abuse, and they're not afraid to put them in positions that are going to make them look bad because they're not part of that team's future. Our situation is very different in the sense that we have, you know, anywhere from 4 to 8 players that could be here moving forward. So we have lots of potential, and it is hard to hide that. It's also somewhat counterproductive to set them up to fail, knowing that they are going to be here long-term, and the things that you're doing to their careers and their mentality could be jeopardized down the road.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it's something I like to also bring up. You know, I think that you don't want to – it's a real fine line between – you know, sending a message that you're purposely trying to tank, and which you are, it's clear that you're doing that. But also, you don't want these guys to also take that loser attitude and not try to win, not try to give their best. And I don't know. What do you feel about LaVine? I know that I'm getting a little bit more concerned as every game goes by. You know, I know he's in a weird situation. He just came back from ACL. He's playing for a contract, playing selfish. But I thought, again, today, I thought he had a little bit of a rough game as far as being selfish.
He definitely needs to learn how to use his peripheral vision. I can't count the number of plays that Markkanen is standing at the three-point line, you know, just back to his left or back to his right, and he's wide open. Because Zach does draw enough attention, and that's what he has to start capitalizing on is you don't have to be the one to put the ball in the basket. If you're the one that set up the opportunity, it all counts the same. You get the assist. Everybody, you know, appreciates that you made the smart basketball play. But like you said, it is his contract here. He's coming off an ACL. He came into Chicago kind of under the assumption that he was going to be handed that role of being that guy. It just so happens that Dunn stepped up a lot more than expected. Lowry turned out to be better than expected. So he has competition, and he's definitely feeling the full pressure of it, but I'm almost less concerned. I kind of look at it the opposite of everybody else. LaVine was going to be here next year regardless. I'm sure the Bulls probably gave him the option to sit out the season, and he probably would have maintained his value at whatever it is. But given our current situation, LaVine struggling, LaVine looking bad, LaVine contributing to losses, keeps other teams from making offers away. We could end up getting a steal of a contract, of a long-term contract for LaVine because of his production.
That's what would you define that at? What's a steal of a contract?
Somewhere from 12 to 15 a year, even 17 a year, somewhere around there. That becomes about half of a max contract that you give somebody off of their rookie deal in 3 years.
I don't think there's any way he takes that. Like, I don't think he's going to accept the 12 to 15. I think a fair deal is 18 a year for 4 years.
We are the only team that can offer him five. The way that the league is going, trending upwards, becoming, you know, that sport, potentially surpassing football unanimously in the next few years here, for the sport that Americans watch, the cap is going to continue to go up. So even signing LaVine at 18 could potentially be a steal if he becomes the max player that I do think he can become. A lot of people have forgotten about his 35-point game with 15 points in the fourth against Minnesota. Everything's working against him right now. Team's trying to lose. You know, him, Lowry, and Dunn have, I think this was their 13th, maybe 14th game that they've played together. They're not quite clicking. Everything's working against them, and like I said, ironically, I think it works in the Bulls' favor. He's going to be here next year no matter what. They're not letting him walk for free.
21 points today for LaVine. Not a bad line in 28 minutes, actually. 7 of 16 from the field, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 3 of 8 from 3. So it wasn't horrible, you know, but my concerns are I feel for the Bulls to maximize to get as good as they possibly can be. I think Markkanen needs to be the A and LaVine needs to be the B. And I don't think it's trending in that direction. You know, I kind of feel like I see it like LaVine thinks he's the A, Markkanen could be his B, you know, is Robin the Batman. And I don't know if that's good for the team in the long term. I mean, do you agree? Do you see this issue?
I see the issue, but I also see the situation that the issue is in. Zach's in his contract year. Lowry's a rookie, kind of has to pay his dues, earn his way before he starts speaking up and criticizing people and taking that role of the leadership or 1A or just flat out 1. Zach is right now in the position where his contract is going to depend on what he can do and what he can show. Because I don't think he's going to want to take a qualifying offer with an injury pass like his, take way less money next year as a prove-it year, and then that also the Bulls would lose their restricted free agent rights on him, which makes it even more risky going into free agency if he does perform to what we think he can in the long run. So I do see the issues that you're talking about. I think a lot of that will change next year. Through an off season of the team working together, figuring out what works for them, as well as Lowry having kind of the ability to step up to be a leader and be the top guy, because he won't be a rookie then.
Yeah. How about let's go back, get to the draft again. So, I mean, are you expecting the Bulls to finish 9th, 8th, 9th, or 10th? Or do you see any hope like I do that, you know, hopefully the Nets can pass them? Hopefully there's a couple other teams. I think Dallas could potentially pass them, the Kings. I think it's not helpless or hopeless that they can fall to 6. Or do you feel it's 9?
I think that we should be able to pass the Nets. I think those are two games that we can drop to them. So I do think we should be able to at least stay 8th, even if the Knicks pass us. But we play the Nets twice. We play the Grizzlies once. The Magic once, and the Knicks once. So those are our important games. If we could lose, you know, even 2 out of 3, if we just lose the games to the Nets, we should be in pretty good position. A lot of these other teams still play each other plenty of times too, like Dallas plays the Suns, the Magic, the Kings, the Nets, the Knicks. Memphis is the only team that really plays a minimal of crap teams left. They play us, the Nets, and the Kings, and that's about the bottom of their worst upcoming games. So I think Memphis is pretty much a lock for the top pick, but I do think we could move up. We are only two games out of fifth. Pelicans are only a game and a half out of falling out of the lottery again. So, I mean, out of the playoffs and into the lottery again. So there is some hope. Things could definitely fall our way, but I'm also at the point where it's like, as long as Kevin Knox is there at nine, I really don't care.
So the Nets have the Raptors and 76ers. You know, those are probably, let's see here, who do they have left?
They have Memphis, the Magic, the Mavericks, us twice, and then Charlotte are their worst six games.
Yeah, they got the Magic, you're right. They got the Hornets, the Grizzlies, the Mavericks. You know, maybe four wins there, I hope. I mean, it's possible. You know, you never know.
The Kings are in a situation where they have the potential to win four games, too. They have Memphis, Phoenix, Atlanta, and Dallas. So there's definitely still the possibility that we could, hit a losing streak here again and fall right into the top five, or at least get to sixth for those increased odds to move up to 1-3 in the lottery, which is kind of where I'm at. Is I'm more concerned about the odds, the numbers, because outside of Ayton, I'm pretty content with whoever we get in the top 10. There's plenty of great prospects. Ayton's really going to be the only heartbreaker for us to miss on for me.
You feel that way. You're still more sold on Ayton than ever.
Oh, no. Did you watch the game at all last night?
I heard about it. Yeah, I didn't see it, but I heard he was impressive.
He was very impressive. I've been telling you all year, the motor concerns will slightly dissipate in March. I think he took some of them away. Defensively, he still definitely has to assert himself more, but that could all come down to system, what the coach is telling them to do. They have five fouls. He's their most valuable player. If he fouls out of the game, they're pretty much done. So there's a lot of factors that kind of go in that to me. But, yeah, Ayton to me is the only prospect that I will lose sleep over not getting this year.
So I meant to ask this question. I asked this to a couple other guys. Would you say he's the only guy? Like, let's pretend Markkanen isn't in. You know how good Markkanen is. Markkanen is in the draft. Or would you trade Markkanen for any of the top 10 prospects? Like I said, Ayton was the only one I would really consider.
I think I would fall into that. I definitely could agree there. Trying to think Jaren Jackson, although I kind of compared him to Kevin Durant, and I've seen more of those comparisons come out since I compared their Garnett's rookie year and Jackson's freshman year. And it was very comparable. It was actually almost astonishing. And when they're 20 years old, they look alike too.
Did you say Durant?
Garnett.
Garnett. Oh, Kevin my Garnett. Gosh.
No, yeah, not Durant. I ain't going that far.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking Kevin Garnett, KG.
And that's quite a – I mean, I love Jaren Jackson too. I mean, I would be ecstatic if the Bulls ended up with him. But, I mean, Kevin Garnett's arguably the best defensive player in the last 20 years. You know, he's in the conversation. And I don't know if he tops out near him.
Well, and even then, like I said, I still don't think I trade Lowry for Jaren Jackson. Ayton would probably be the only one. And even at that point, I've taken such a liking to Lowry that I don't want him going anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. And, as we're coming up now on the tournament, are there any guys outside of the top 10 that you want us to look at that are playing in this tournament you think are, you know, high risers that are moving that you think that you should take a look at coming up to see how they perform when it matters most?
A couple people I would keep an eye on outside of the top 10 would be Jacob Evans of Cincinnati. He's a small forward. He's projected towards the very back end of the first. Very solid player, probably Cincinnati's second best player in terms of production, maybe their best player overall. Devontae Graham, the point guard out of Kansas. He's a senior, so he is older. But his numbers, his drive, his competitiveness, he's a winner. He's somebody I'd take into consideration with, our Pelicans pick. And then Daniel Gafford, of Arkansas, like we've talked about several times. He's further back there. Definitely something to keep an eye on. Like I said, I've been picking position over talent a lot in my scouting. I'm really looking at wing players, somebody that could truly play the center, and backup point guards. Other than that, I'm really not all that interested in anybody else.
Gotcha. So right now at 9, I mean, who in your dream scenario, based on most of the mock drafts you've seen, who do you want the Bulls to take?
I want them to take Knox.
Ahead of the Bridges.
Ahead of the Bridges.
Oh my gosh. I'm gonna debate that one with you maybe the next show. I gotta see more of Knox, but I am sold on both Bridges. I know Mikal's a little older. I love Miles. I've always been a fan. I think he's going to be an excellent pro. It's going to be great to see what happens.
I think Mikal is definitely the safe, guaranteed pick. I just feel Knox has the most upside of the three. He has the most NBA body of the three that you can't teach 6'9". He's going to bulk up. He's going to be 18 on draft night. I think he's the only one out of the three that has the potential to be a star. I think the other two are more of safe picks, but since I don't see us in the top 10 of the lottery anytime soon, I think we have to take the big swing and not be conservative.
I'd like to go back to the Bulls about Antonio Blakeney. Had 14 points today in 18 minutes. Just tore up the G League. Performed so well. What do you think that kid's future is in the NBA? Do you think he's got a future? Is he going to be on the Bulls next year? Or do you think this guy's just going to be destined to be a superstar in the G League?
I really hope that they find a place for him. I think he has the potential to be a Lou Williams-like player. He can create his own shot in a damn box. Like there's no way to stop this kid from finding a shot. And that's something very valuable in this league, as Lou Williams has showed by carrying the Clippers, even without Blake Griffin and CP3. They still have a chance to make the playoffs here. A minimal chance, probably the least chance out of anybody in the West. But, you know, they're at least in the conversation, regardless of being in the middle of a rebuild themselves. I think he has that kind of potential. The only concern is he is undersized. Do you play him at the point? Do you play him at the shooting guard? I think that's their biggest problem with finding a spot for Blakeney. I know Fred doesn't like him because he doesn't generally play within the offense. But outside of that, I really hope they find a spot for that kid on this team, because I think he has great potential.
Yeah, me too. I like him coming off the bench, you know, being a bench instant offense type of player. I hope if he continues to play this well down the stretch for the Bulls, you know, hoping he doesn't screw up the tank. But you know, he was incredible in the G League, and you know, you gotta cheer for a kid like that. You know, that it's able to score. Scoring is something that people will pay for, and it's at a premium, and if he can continue to do that. I remember he had a great game against the Lakers earlier in the year in L.A. in the second quarter.
I think he had 18 points in the first half, and then I don't think he scored again, but yeah. He definitely went off in that game.
So, you know, let's hope that he ends up being a piece, too, going forward. I see you've seen our arguments on Valentine between myself and Australia Mark. What do you think of Valentine? I'd like to get your take on him and his – as we go into next season. Is he definitely guaranteed a roster spot?
Oh, that's not within question. I mean, like you pointed out earlier, he does lead the team in major categories in the top three, and he only makes $2.2 million next year. I don't think you're going to find value of that kind of player for that price anywhere else besides maybe, you know, late first round with our Pelicans pick. Now, if draft night comes around and there's trade offers that are being offered to potentially move Valentine to get a backup point guard because we just drafted a wing, that's something I could see happening. But I don't think Valentine is as bad of a player as Australia Mark likes to make him out to be. I think most of that is just pushing your buttons. But not a superstar by any means, definitely a second line player. But I do think that he has value off the bench for our team in the future.
Yeah, he does too. I think that's exactly what he is. He's not as good as I thought he was going to be, but a lot better than what most people thought he was going to be. He can rebound. He can pass the ball. He's got great, excellent court vision. good ball handler, a good guy to come off the bench, seventh or eighth man.
How about that behind the back pass today, though?
Phenomenal.
Man, that was was beautiful. Right into like the fifth row.
I know, and I'm sure Mark will make a screenshot of it, or and send it to me continually for the next 6 months. It's amazing how he does that. But you know what? I mean, it's funny. Every bad play of his is going to be sent and to me, my knowledge of how I felt about the kid. So I think he's definitely a rotation player on a playoff team, on the Bulls' next playoff team, which I think will be next year. What do you want to see in the next couple games from the Beloved? Let's see who they got on the on next. We got
Clippers, Memphis.
Gosh, we could lose that Memphis game. So the Clippers coming to town, 36-29. You figure they got to win that game. The Clippers will probably win that game, hopefully. And then it's
Memphis on the road. So at least we're in their territory. It'll probably come down to whether Parsons, Gasol, Tyreek Evans, or, you know, if they're going to play their guys or if they're going to rest them again.
And then Cleveland. Oh, yeah, let's go back to that before I forget. So Mark's been ripping on the organization for how they've handled this tanking situation with, you know, sitting down their healthy players. Make the argument for why it's wrong.
I think the league's in the wrong. I don't think the Bulls were at all in the wrong. In all sports, once you get past a certain part of the season where it's pretty much considered a lost season, there's no hope of making the playoffs, your goal is to turn that negative into a positive. The only positive that you can find out of that is through development of a player that nobody expected to be anything, giving people opportunities that they're not generally given. So the league stepping in and telling the Bulls that, you know, the Bulls players weren't allowed to save their dignity and, you know, wear suits to the game instead of uniforms when they didn't intend to play. They were offered minimal minutes and they declined. They were good sports about it and said, you know, we understand what the team's doing. We don't want to take away from that. So we're willing, you know, to be good sports and allow them to do what they want to do. So for the league to step in there really made no sense to me at all. Yes. I had absolutely no problem with them being upfront and honest, and I don't want to see them resting or sitting Levine, Dunner, Markkanen. So I thought they handled it perfectly. They got away with it for several games until we got blown out by the Celtics, and then they readjusted the plan to fit what the league wanted. But at the end of the day, I see no problem what they did as opposed to what the other teams are currently doing.
I agree 100%. 100%. And I thought, I also think there's a, it's a fine line to start making up injuries. And that affects how a player, you're forcing a player to lie. You're forcing an agent to lie about the status of injury. I mean, goodness gracious, Landon A. Schroeder sat with a quote unquote elbow injury. None of us saw. I mean, that wasn't apparent. And he sat out the game today. I mean, you're asking the kid to be dishonest. And I think
the most messed up part about that situation today was, as we found out with Rolo, when you are the home team, you are allowed to healthy scratch at least one player. So they didn't even have to lie. They didn't have to put the kid or his agent in that situation. They simply could have said, we're resting Dennis Schroeder today, and they would have had no repercussions at all because that's within the league's rules.
Interesting. Yeah, good point. And they forced him to lie, and you know, maybe he is legitimately injured, but I think organizations and agents and players have problems with that. I know I would if I was playing and people are telling me I need to go public and lie with it. I actually have an injury that I don't. Durability is part of what makes you a value as a player. And to lie about you being injured does not help your you know overall value in the long run. You know, I'm sure teams are smart enough to know it, but you know, Dennis Schroeder could have had a huge game today. And that would have positively affected his stats, and he could have, you know, positively affected contract negotiations down the road. I think being dishonest with players is never good policy. Just my opinion.
Well, personally, I was raised in a household where lying wasn't very acceptable to begin with. So any situation where lying's involved, I'm kind of opposed to that route as the being honest and upfront route, which gets me in trouble sometimes. But I'd rather tell it how it is than beat around the bush.
You're a good man. Good man, Keith. Always great to talk to you, brother. At Bull Scripted, you can find Keith on Twitter. And looking forward to talking to you again next week. It's always great to talk with you, brother. Let's maybe try to touch base in the middle of the week before the tournament. Get your take on some of the games coming up, especially the games that we need to look for as far as Bulls prospects.
Sounds good, boss. You know, I'm available whenever you need me.
All right, my man. Great talking to you as always, and we'll talk to you soon.